Biden called it an all-hands
Blog Talk Radio.
Nationwide and global vaccinations. He noted U.S. vaccine shipments around the world and said more are coming. Biden said the U.S. is buying another 500 million doses of Pfizer's vaccine and will donate them to low- and middle-income nations. The president said the world must also start preparing for future pandemics. He called it an issue of global health security. Investors on Wall Street are anxiously awaiting news from the Federal Reserve today on interest rates. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell may announce rate hikes in the near future and a possible slowing down of other policies meant to prop up the economy. This afternoon's announcement comes as stocks go through a roller coaster week with wild drops and gains. Over 24 Republican governors are wanting a meeting with President Biden due to the immigration surge at the U.S. southern border. The governors have signed a letter to the White House requesting the meeting, but Arizona Governor Doug Ducey isn't holding out hope for a get-together anytime soon.
This White House doesn't listen to governors. It doesn't value governors. It doesn't talk to the governors. It looks at us as lower middle managers in their federal corporation.
And governors say the flow of migrants coming across the border has created a crisis. This comes as Texas Governor Greg Abbott is asking for a federal emergency declaration, stating a large migrant camp under the International Bridge in Del Rio is overwhelming federal agents and the community. Some Pennsylvania can be able to get food and other Kiwibot. Pittsburgh city leaders announced a partnership with Kiwibot to launch a pilot program through the Carnegie Library. The small robots will deliver food, medicine, and books to participating areas. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Whether it's fly fishing or French pastry, we all have something that makes our tail wag. Involuntary and instinctive, it's sparked by excitement, inspired by purpose, and it speaks to who we are. I'm Stacey Heller of Stacey Connects. I lead clients to the place that makes their tail wag. As a creative director, I bring ideas to life. As a podcast producer, I give ideas a voice. Stacey Connects. It's my superpower. If you want to connect with me, Stacey Heller, go to StaceyConnects.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see cloudy skies and a slight chance of rain this morning, turning to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, low temperatures dropping down to about 54. For Thursday and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected. High temperatures on the rise by a few degrees, 58, 69, 70, with mostly clear skies for the overnight. Low temperatures in the low 50s.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150KKNW.com. That's 1150KKNW.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local. The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We've got a great show for all of you out there. Elias Lonsdale is joining me here today, Lonsdale, actually. What we're going to be talking about is what I love to talk about. I love to talk about the stars. I love to be able to talk about, you know, our fascination with them, right? Elias has written a great book, 360 Degrees of Your Star Destiny, a Zodiac Oracle. And today I want to introduce you to what his work is about and what he's done. You know, kind of like a lot of us, you know, you discover something in your life, you discover an impact. And then what you do is you look it straight in the face and there's something that pulls you that wants you to learn more. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. It's not always about the stars
or it's not always about, you know, something else going on in the world. But you know what that feeling is like. And so he has been out there firsthand looking at this territory of traditional astrology, classes, books, and breakthroughs. You know, there was a major turning point, and you'll hear about that today. And what happens when we look to the stars? Why have we been doing it since the inception of who we are? You know, what is it that fascinates us so much and really creates a hunger for us to want to know more? What will we learn on this journey? That's what today's show is all about. And do the stars play a major role in our everyday lives? Benny, I was really struck by something the other day, and you and I have shared moments of this in our time together. Jamie is our producer at TTR, but Benny and I have done, we've gone through the walk of life and have done shows and have been part of seeing people pass away way too soon. And Benny, the other day I watched The Bodyguard again for the, what, 50 millionth time?
A lot of times.
A gazillion times.
Could be your top five then. Top five. Mm-hmm.
And I watched it again, and I was in awe of Whitney Houston. Now, I watched this movie before, but I had this moment where I asked myself, if she could have only dot, dot, dot. And I just watched her brilliance in this movie and just had a moment of recognition for what an amazing talent she was. And then I ran into the same situation with Michael Jackson, where I'm sitting there and I'm going through a couple of exercises and Thriller comes on. You got that one? And you start to ask yourself questions about destiny. How is it that you watch people in your life, and I'm not even going to bring up Prince, because I still don't think Prince and David Bowie are gone. I'm sorry. I think they're somewhere with Elvis. But what is it about this extraordinary life we live? And sometimes the conundrum about how a person's lives will take this turn and twist. But today's show with Elias is about looking at the 360 degrees of our star destiny. How do we use this? How do we look at our sun sign and then other planets in our birth chart? How do we look at them? How do we interpret them? What sense do we make from them? And when we move into the progression of some things, like you've heard me talk about Mercury and retrograde, Mercury is our ruler, but Jupiter is my planet. And when I talk about these things, I know very little about them, but I'm intrigued. Today, how does astrology help us see deeply into our lives, our shadow, what we're questioning? And what is it about us in this journey that through these insights can make sense? You know, what is it about my four planets in Capricorn and my moon that explains the first 40 years of my life very differently than the next? But then again, I'm not an expert. Elias, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
We've been looking at the stars like when? Since the time of what? Since people could look up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Our fascination with them, our interpretation of them, our stories of them, using stars for predictability of when to plant a crop and when not to plant a crop. Let's talk about the fascination, but more importantly, there's a reason that you have dedicated your life to this understanding. What was it in your life? What was it, or what challenge were you faced with where you said, I need to understand this more and then help other people understand their own relationship with the SARS. What was that?
I belonged to a commune in 1969 in New York City. And the commune broke up, as they always did. And when it did, it was like a shattering of everything. And a few months later, I was visiting another such commune in Boston. They call it Boston. And they, at this commune, they were believers in astrology. They weren't in the commune I'd been. But suddenly there was astrology everywhere. And somebody showed me in a book, Gravity Wise book, heaven knows what, my sun in Taurus and my moon in Sagittarius. And I knew nothing about astrology. And that moment, it just hit me. This person who wrote this book knows something about me I need to know. So I started to study it. And I traveled all around the country hitchhiking and visiting communes and other communes and visiting ashrams and all such things. And my question was, what are the stars trying to tell me? So I was looking up at the moon everywhere I went. And I was starting to do readings for people, even though I didn't know anything. And the readings were tremendous, which didn't make any sense. Obviously, I had some star intuition going for me. And then when I started to really work with it, my whole life changed.
Oh.
Because all of the spiritual world started opening for me. And ever since then, it's been my spiritual path. Astrology usually isn't anybody's spiritual path. It can be an adjunct, but it isn't your spiritual path. But it is mine.
Mm.
And what that means is that I don't divide it up into a mental thing over on the side. It just permeates everything. I'm given guidance. I'm part of vaster worlds. You know, I live the stars. And this has been happening now since 1970, well over 50 years. And all throughout, even when my mate died in 1993 and my entire life completely changed, at every point, the stars have been my guiding light, and now more than ever.
Mm. You know, I love the way you describe it and you describe your own personal journey, but I even love more the way you talk in the language that you invite us to participate in. Right at the get-go from your book, what I love about this is, you know, the notion of activating the planets, just right out of the gate. And, you know, when I started to read this and I started to think about, this is a new way to see things for me. And,
yes.
You know, I've been doing this almost 2 decades, and I've read a lot of books, and I've looked at a lot of things. But when I picked this up, I had a different sense of understanding. So I was really, it was really clear to me that this isn't just a book you've written. This is a body of work that has been your living, breathing essence. And it explains things in ways that a lot of things don't get explained, right? And I joke a little bit about the first 40 years of my life, of course, with my moon in Capricorn and then a bunch of planets in Capricorn. So I got Capricorn and Sagittarius all up here in the right stuff, right quadrant. And, you know, and I look at that and I joke about having this interesting personality, of course, with Taurus rising. And I think about in the book, what you're inviting us to understand. What is it about activating the planets that becomes so important? It's the invitation opening of your book.
You see, the planets are activating us all the time. And, you know, it's like they're the dynamic, the spark that ignites us. So activating the planets means that you interact with them. You bring them toward you. You become awake to what's happening. And then you discover that you're not alone and you're not just doing your own thing, that you're in this kind of cosmic reality that's also bringing you through to the earth, and that it is so enlivening and so empowering that it almost is too much for anybody. I mean, it's never too little. It's not mild and modest. It's just an overwhelming inspiration and encouragement, really.
You know, it's fascinating. I want to share this little story before we go to break, and then we'll come back. Is I was sitting here, I think it was last week, and I just had this odd feeling, just really odd, you know, just like something happened. And I just started to Google Jupiter. And interesting what I found was, which not many people are talking about, some kind of meteor, asteroid, I don't know what it was, crashed into Jupiter.
Yes.
And I looked at that and I thought, man, this is really eerie. You know, why would I even think about Jupiter? You know, I pay a lot of attention to Jupiter, probably more than I should. But that was such an interesting feeling for me when I saw the pictures of this. And it's just like, how did that happen? And there was such a draw to it. When we come back, I would love to talk with you about what happens when we decide to take a deeper look. What happens when we look at the star sparks and try to understand or make sense of our lives? How can astrology help us? We're going to take a short break, everybody, when we come back. Really fabulous book. And by the way, if you've got any questions for Elias, look, 1-800-930-2819. Give us a shout. When we come back, we're going to take a deeper look at some of these signs. Take a look at the planets. Take a look at what it means. But the beautiful way that this book is written, so you understand, for example, parts of Taurus, you know, a red garnet ring. There are things in this book that you just didn't know about. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
The complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you've nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Imagine starting your week off with a teaching, a clearing, and an activation direct from the God Consciousness. If you would like to feel more in charge of your week ahead, then I personally invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, for our monthly Soul Sunday non-denominational service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, online or in person. All donations for this event go to the TLC Initiative Fund to help those in need. Sign up now at TracyLClark.com and let's connect together in the glory realm.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We figured by the time we turned 50, we kind of had life figured out, but we were not prepared for the realities of midlife. Tune into And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife, with me, Susan Dolce,
and me, Leanne Dyer, every second and fourth Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're not alone in these challenges, and sometimes you just gotta laugh.
Find us at SusanDolce.com
and LeanneDyer.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so very much for doing that. Fascinating. 360 degrees of your star destiny, a zodiac oracle. Elias Lonsdale joining me here today. Elias, before we go any further, how do people get a copy of the book and how do they find out more about you? Let's get that out there.
You know, you can get it through Amazon and all those usual places. It should show up in bookstores too. If you live in an area where there's bookstores, which makes you very fortunate these days, and you can order it through there. My website, which is StarGenesisWisdom.com, you can do just about anything through that as well. I'm more concerned with people, how should I put it, diving deep into the book. I know they can find it. It's easy to find. It just came out. It just came out the end of last month.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. But it's a book that will kind of open the world for people. It's most of all, it's an oracle for a lot of people. You know, you just open it at random or various techniques, and you have this oracle that actually tells you what you need to know about what's happening and your life right now.
Mm. You know, I love being able to talk with you about this. And first, let me thank you for joining me on the show today. And I want to just tell everybody, when you go to StarGenesisWisdom.com, it's an amazing site. But the other thing you're going to find is there is a three-night teleclass you can download. I mean, this is so much that Elias is bringing to the forefront here. And so please take a look at it. There's also teleseries, recordings, you know, looking at frequencies, right? I love this. I love the conversation about the Great Return. But more importantly, let's talk about the book for a little bit, because one of the things I love as I went through the book, I mean, one thing led me to ask another question, which led me to ask another question, which led me to ask another question. But let's just talk about the comment that you made before. I mean, honestly, it did. I found myself with my chart, like looking and then going to the book and then trying to put it all together. But you said something interesting to me during the break. You said if you're looking at your chart, right, you don't take the actual degree in the chart. You have to bump it up one. Can you talk about that? Did I get that right?
Yes. So I use the example of, let's say your sun was in 1705 Sagittarius. That would be 18 degrees. Even if it was in 1701 Sagittarius, it would be 18. And, of course, it was
1319.
So that would be 14. And that's a degree that's very important in my life. I can explain it in a moment. But, and so we always go to the next. That's the rule. And that means that it's kind of like each degree is an open portal into what's coming next. Everything is oriented toward opening further rather than going backward. Everything is about going forward.
I looked at this, and I want to go real time with you on this because I want people to understand how intriguing this book is. And the bottom line for me, Elias, on this is there is just the beginning. One of the things that happened to me as I started to read the book, I'm like, I gotta schedule more time with this man, because I started to look at this, and I did look at 13 because I didn't know, right? And right. So I looked at Sagittarius 13, right? Is that correct? Am I doing that right? 13, 19?
Yeah, you looked at 13, and you should look at 14, yeah.
Exactly. So I looked at 13. Let me just go for it for a minute. Can I use it as an example? Would you mind? Mm-hmm. All right. This is the coolest thing about the book. If you all call in and, you know, you want to have some insight into what's going on in your chart, maybe you have your chart in front of you, this is the coolest thing. I'll actually read from the book, right? And then, of course, Elias will explain it. But I picked up the book. I was talking to Linda. This is kind of funny. Only a Sagittarius, I think, would think this is funny, right? Sagittarius, 13. An embalmer at work on a mummy. And I read that, and I was like, I love the way you descriptively just nailed some of these, right? Because most of the books that I've read, they don't really get at the core. They don't get of this journey. And I started to read this. And then I thought, huh, I got to talk to you about that. But then I find out, well, wait a minute. It's really Sagittarius 14, a terrarium filled with carnivorous plants. And I thought, I think I want to stay with the mummy one. I mean, I honestly did that. I was like, wait a minute. Okay, now it's 14. I go from, you know, working with the mummy one, which I really liked. But then I read this. This is so insightful to me, and let me just share a little bit of it. And then, by the way, just going to joke with you a minute about it. And then as I looked at it, I was so grateful that I wasn't 15, just saying. It says, we are captured inside a world where every life form consumes every other life form. We take this as a given. We adapt to it so greatly that we no longer sense the cues our body gives us when we're in danger, when we've gone too far, when we've swept away by plans and ideas and lost it to this world. Then we need an extreme, I love this. You got to help me out here, though, so I don't just go into like a tailspin. Then we need an extreme impact to reach us and turn us around. Boy, are you so right about that. Perfectly some archetypal cycle of experience that matches the collective frequency of going too far with their own variation on the same thing. It's called obsession. Just in my language. We need to get it all at once, that it's happening everywhere and right here, and that something has to shift fast, or else we'll be goners. Like, I'm thinking, like, is this man in my mind? Is this guy sitting with me down in my... But here's what you say. I just love what you've done here. I help people get this book. And it says, the funny part is that as soon as we show up for this level of confronting reality, it changes into an entirely different story altogether. If that is not so my life. And it goes on to say, we had previously seemed to be self-evidently in attack. A terrible predicament, a lost momentum, turns right around and shows us that the gift is as bright as the outlook was bleak. Now we can embrace the gift as enthusiastically as we adapted to the blight. Then we crack through to a reality different from what we have known before in any world. This is a stunner. All the chaos is outside. All the turbulence cannot reach throughout to us. Instead, we are in the eye of the storm, and we are cooking up a different world to be in. Our great challenge will be to empower that radical impulse unconditionally. Then we can discover that we have an answer, a creative response to what seemed to be just impossible. For we know that if we say yes inside the great no, structures topple and the light returns. And I thought, that is so insightful. I think that when people read this, they'll be able to relate this to their lives. And can you talk about this for a minute? Because this is so part of a high-level synopsis of my life.
Well, me too. Okay. That degree is about what happens when you get higher than what you thought you were up against. And then when you emerge, then you can go deeper under what you thought you were up against. And you discover that above it and below it, it's a different reality. And that surface drama that it describes at the beginning part is just a kind of sensationalistic thing that happens when we're impressionable and not quite there, not quite all there. But then when we get higher and deeper, then we discover we have a much greater range to us, and that nothing really can do anything to us unless we insist upon it, and that it's completely up to us.
Mm. You know, I was thinking deeply about this, and I've read several others of these, and yeah, that's what I said, I'm totally intrigued about this. What I was really struck by is how amazingly accurate and let me just ask you about the interpretation of these, because I'd like to talk to you when we come back from break about a couple of others. But what I was really struck by is, as I was reading this, I flashed back on I had to lose my job after 24 and a half years. That had to go. That had to happen. I was not meant to retire. I was meant to do something else. And if that didn't happen, I don't think I'd be here today. I'd still be back in New Jersey. Do you know what I mean? And I could point to different times like that. But what's most interesting is how many points in my life I found yeses out of no's. And I just have started to think deeply about that. I wanted to ask you this. I want to talk about it when we come back. People will be astonished when they read the book. When we come back, I'd like to hear from you. What has astonished you most about your discovery, about what you've learned, and about what the guideposts might be for people listening to the show? Because there's so much information and richness in this that I'm telling you, this has just blown me away and how much you've been able to put to words where many people have not. Let's take a short break, everybody. The book is 360 Degrees of Your Star Destiny, a Zodiac Oracle. If you happen to have your chart up and you could tell us, like, where's your sun and what the degrees are, maybe we can have some fun with you. 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, I got a question. How do we read the solar return? Does that have a basis for anything? You know, does the time that we're in now and where the planets are and will be, can they become guideposts? And what is it about those early years now that may make sense? Stay tuned. That and much more. Great book. We'll be right back.
Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure in triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion. First Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. She'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. You know, I love this. I love this book, and I love what Elias does. Please, I want you all to make sure you know how to get a copy of the book. But more importantly, it really is fascinating to really take a look, and I mean this, take a look ahead and look at what are some of the things that Elias is bringing forth. If you go to StarGenesisWisdom.com, not only will you find the book, you'll find teleclasses, you'll find ways to connect, you'll be able to schedule readings. You know, Elias, you and I were talking during the break, and we were having the Jupiter moment during the break, and I was telling you about this sense I felt, and you were sharing something that really hit me hard. And let's talk about this in the context of how the planets move, how they change, right, from birth to maybe a solar return. But that date that you mentioned, July of 1994, is that what you said, July 16th?
16th, yeah.
Okay. Do you know what happened in 1994 on that date?
In what?
I got a letter. From that doctoral school, that program, I had been on a waiting list. I never thought I'd get accepted. I got an acceptance letter and had to show up at that school in 1 month, Claremont in California. Never expected it. I wrote it off. It was a giant no. I was riding my Harley and having coffee in Seattle with my dog, and I was at a lost moment in my life. I didn't know where I'd go. And that letter, it's fascinating. And you explained that Jupiter, on that day, you knew something was going to happen. Let's talk about Jupiter for a moment, and then we'll go to the phones, because you shared something so insightful. It's exactly what I was feeling. Tell us about the planet Jupiter, and Jupiter is only one planet. I mean, there are more planets than Jupiter, but it's an interesting, challenging time for Jupiter, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I believe that Jupiter right here at the end of summer 2021 has just gone through a huge change, and as it did that day in 1994, and there was another day, I think, in 2009, similar date, in fact, the same day, July 16th, 2009. But this one, what I believe is happening is that Jupiter has lost its power to get all the way through to us because we have so many influences at work in the world right now that are against our evolution, against who we really are. So we're getting distracted, lost in all kinds of places. I'm not going to talk about that, but we all know it all too well. And so Jupiter is kind of getting stirred up to give us a new impetus forward to where our consciousness can start to open the space ahead and not be so bogged down in what's not working.
Yeah. I love how we can pinpoint and get a full expression of events through the book and through understanding it. For people that may be just tuning in, let's talk a little bit about the book, and then we're going to go to the phones. We've got a caller calling in. But you've written this book in a way where you literally pinpoint, right? That's why it's called 360. You literally pinpoint a snapshot in time, like we just did with my birth chart, right? And everybody that's listening, they'll be able to go and they'll look us up primarily for the sun.
No.
Thank you. Yeah.
Traditionally, it used to be. That's how they used to look at it 100 years ago. No, I don't think so. The sun is the leading light in your life, but every planet has a major thing to tell you, and sometimes Mars will be the one that tells you the most because that's the one you're really going with in your life. Could be Venus. It could be anything. Easily could be the moon.
And so this is why I said when I opened up the book and I pulled out my chart, I just got completely immersed. I mean, I went from my sun sign to my moon sign. And for me, when I looked at this and I thought, wait a minute, my moon, there's my moon. It's that degree. It's in Capricorn. There's where it is. And I started to look at it. I was totally fascinated. But for people, they may not know that when they look at this, they need to go ahead. So we're going to have some fun. We've got a great caller calling in. We've got Gretchen. I can't wait to hear what Gretchen has to say. I think we've got Gretchen, right, Benny?
Correct. Gretchen, are you there?
Hi, Gretchen.
Yes, I'm here. Hi, there.
Hey. How can we help you today?
I have my astrological chart pulled up. And
okay.
Looking at it, so I'm wondering what you'd like to know and what you could possibly tell me about myself.
Okay. All right. So if you're looking at your chart, Elias, help us out here. When you're looking at your chart, for example, you can find your sun sign, right? You know the little sun?
Yes.
Okay. And then there are numbers, right? There's like a 19 with a little circle around it or something, and then a 13 with like a little single quote. Elias, tell us how to explain that and which number Gretchen's going to need for us to talk about.
Well, Gretchen, do you see your sun degree? Can you read it?
Yes, 21 degrees, 48. So would it be 22? Is it the same? Sun and Libra?
Of what? What sign is that?
Libra. I was born in October 15th, so my son's in Libra.
Okay.
21 degrees, 48.
You probably don't have this book in front of you, but I do. And Libra 22 is an ancient glass vial, perfectly preserved.
Yeah. Wow.
Ancient glass vial, perfectly preserved. Just in the simplest way, what do you feel when you hear that?
Then I need to fill the vial up. That it might be empty, and I need to fill it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it's not broken. It's perfectly preserved, and it's been around a long time.
Yeah.
It feels like a vessel, or it should hold a potion, perhaps. That's what I
think
when you said that. That's really powerful.
Yeah, one sentence from our description, just one sentence, is they are being trained in a great art.
I love that.
There's an art to it. And if you study this, you know, in the book, you just see that it gives you a path to follow, a way to be fully who you are.
Wow. That's wonderful. Yes. Do you need to know my moon or any other planets or anything, or is it you just start from, you know, let's see tropical zodiac sign and go from there?
Let's take your moon. What's your moon?
Yeah, what's your moon?
Sagittarius, 12 degrees 03.
12:03. Okay, so
13 is my lucky number, so that works.
That's the 13 that you're looking at. Yeah. So the symbol there is, and as she mentioned already, Pat mentioned, an embalmer at work on a mummy.
Yep. Wow.
And I'll just read you the first sentence, which is old thought forms, ancient wisdom, and fresh experiences all show the same picture from different sides. Old thought forms, and fresh experiences all show the same picture from different sides. So it's like you're in this energy that is coming to itself again and again, and it's always the same, and yet it's taking you somewhere very different.
Wow. That's really powerful. The first part is old thought forms, and the last is fresh experience. What's the middle one?
Yeah, it's ancient wisdom.
Ancient wisdom.
So when you refer to ancient, you know, when you tune into ancient wisdom, it will tell you the same thing that fresh experiences show you. In essence, everything's speaking to you and showing you the same thematic weaving. That's the mummy, you know, it's like you're in these wrappings of the mummy. Everything's wrapping itself around you and taking you where you need to go.
Yeah. One of the lines from here, if I could just read it to you so you get a sense of it.
Sure.
A couple things. It says, ancient wisdom reveals that on the inside this picture is almost reversed. Death is no stranger, no invader, no despoiler. Death is the intimate companion of life, and if we give death its true place, we'll be guided to integrated life and death within something that moves beyond these opposites. I love this. Moves beyond these opposites and where they can go when life and death renew and fertilize each other. The next paragraph, though, is really revealing. And I read this before because I thought this was my number. And honestly, I just looked at my chart again, and I'm just shocked at how I misread my chart. But then it says, fresh experiences offer us new pathways to explore, right? So Sagittarian.
Right.
And it says, these are instant variations on the theme of working through death and finding life inside death's jaws. And I love this. I love the idea of this because, you know, death isn't always death of a physical thing. You know,
it's a transformation.
Exactly. Yeah. And then here's the punchline for me for this particular reading. It says, the degree weaves path of involvement through some very dark old territory into light that cannot arise any easier way. It's confounded track on which to stay clear. The curves, the surprises, the reverses and the returns are wild to take up. We are asked to let go of every fixed idea and to free past ghosts of every kind. We are ushered into the astounding miracle we will never believe until we're right there in the super clarity that comes at death's door. When it's all over, it's ready to begin. When everything falls apart, the deeper pattern can come together. As we lose what we thought we had, we gain access to the missing place. I mean, isn't that fascinating?
It's really beautifully written. And is that written by you, Elias, or is it an ancient text?
Yes, this is in your book.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It means so much because, especially, Dr. Pat, when you said something about changing a career after 24 years, I'm about to hit 24 years of a career that I am ready to just, I can't do it anymore because it's not me.
I know.
That's what I said. I have to call because it's just like too much.
I know. And, you know, what's fascinating about this is what, you know, we just started to talk about the fact that we can take a look at the chart
And every planet, Elias is saying that every planet has meaning, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting is I made a mistake in looking at my chart. So this is fascinating to me. I'm a little, what is the word? What do we used to call it? Learning challenge dyslexic. So I reversed the numbers. So here's what I just discovered. I'm not 13 degrees. I'm actually 19 degrees Sagittarius. And so that's 20. But it's fascinating because as you start to read this, and 20 is different. So what I read you is exactly from the book. I didn't summarize or paraphrase.
Right.
So that has to have a
wonderful
message for you.
And so you can go through all your different planets and get a reading through the book.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's just incredible. I mean, you know, I went back after discovering that I just read on air the wrong degree, and I read Sagittarius 20, the changing of wine of water into wine. And I started to read this, and it so represents where I am today. It just so represented where I am today. You know, and so these words that Elias has written and the way he's written it, I mean, I've read a lot of books. This is just so beautiful. Do you know what I mean? I mean, look, this is the changing of water into wine. Just to give you a sense, it starts out blessed, surrounded by every opportunity in the world, granted to meet in life, which can be revitalized and restored and reawakened what was lost, stuck, and stopped. I mean, I created Earthbusting. I have a domain called Unstuckable.
And doesn't the heart chakra mean unstuck, unstruck as well? Think about it. Unstuckable is your website.
That is one of the domains I bought when I first started to do the show. You know, the show was originally crust busting your way to an awesome light because I was so stuck in my own life. That's the best I could do. And, you know, Elias, your book, I mean, Gretchen's right. The words that are in here are just, I've never read anything quite like this to help us understand the full embodiment.
Just the phrase alone says it all.
Yeah.
Changing water into wine. Seriously.
I love it. Gretchen, thank you so much. I hope you get a copy of the book because I'll tell you, if you're like me, you couldn't put it down. Like, I was like,
I
was almost late for my show.
I grab it on the website, Elias's website, Star Genius Wisdom.
Yeah, StarGeniusWisdom.com.
All right. Thank you so much
thank
for
you,
everything.
Gretchen.
I appreciate
you. Thank you so much for calling in. Isn't that funny that I reversed the numbers on my chart?
Yep.
I'm learning different, so I would do that a lot. Actually, I dialed the wrong phone number. That's how I started my show 18 years ago. I literally dialed the wrong phone number. But these words are so beautifully written. I mean, can you talk about, I know we've got a few minutes left. It doesn't matter what page I go to. These are powerful explanations. What's your vision for people that are experiencing this book in your wisdom? What's your vision for us?
I feel that we're at a huge verge that the Jupiter impact suggests, but there's other things too. We're at a huge verge in the evolution. And what we need is to focus on seed ideas, living impulses that are going to take us forward from here. Because we have a massive amount of influence trying to pull us back, or tending to pull us back. And we need this kind of progressive evolutionary dynamic to take us forward. And to me, it's a matter of a kind of intimate engagement with our own real destiny. And I feel like that's, you know, I've been working on this forever, but now is the time we need it the most.
Yeah.
Comes out into the world now.
I'll tell you, it's so powerful. I didn't read Sagittarius 20 out loud. And I didn't read it out loud because I started to read it a little bit. I read really fast, by the way. I don't know how that happened, you know, given the fact that I do have a little learning disability. as they once called it once upon a time, I now know it was a total gift for me. The kind of thing that I do was great in my doctoral program because I'm great at concepts and processes. But I started to read this, and it just, I just started to tear up a little bit here. That must be a sign. I just did. I started to read this. Given a charge of inner world's power upon our life-giving essence to offer with hope and enthusiasm is the most obdurate situations, not put off by coming up against tremendous outer and inner stuff to cut through. No kidding. Just knowing there is a force, there is a way somehow. Bearing treasures that are priceless, offer the keys to the kingdom. It's simply a matter of celebrating the living spirit as supreme in all things. I don't start my day without honoring spirit. I thank spirit at least 70 times a day in my mind. But that hasn't always been my life. That's what I find so fascinating. You say we are entering the mystery of soul remembrance. What does it mean when we can recall a fragment fashion of all good and essential things and to never forget them? Not only is this powerful, but I am on your website scheduling a reading with you because I think people will find when they read this book, you get them. You're bringing a knowledge and a wisdom that helps people understand, as Gretchen said, at the heart chakra level. Elias, I can't thank you enough for joining me here today. I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with, and thank you for sharing a lifetime of work that is so vital and important in the world today. What's your personal message?
This is the time in your life, not any other time but this. This is the time in your life, and we are all here together, and it seems like we're fragmented and polarized and isolated. But when you go deeper and higher, you find that we are together at this time and we can bring each other through, and it isn't going to be anywhere near as horrible as they say it is, not unless you insist upon it, because we can do this. This world is going to be a true world again. This is what we're here for.
Thank you so very, very much for sharing a lifetime of work. I know what it's like to come out and share this and be fully present as you are. And the words, if Gretchen said it best, the way that you've captivated the heart energy spirit of what we have looked towards for more than we can remember about humanity, it's just so beautifully done. What a gift you are to the world. Thank you so much for being there.
Thank you very much for having me.
We didn't get to Benny's chart, but maybe we'll do it next time. I hope Elias will come back. Please, all of you out there, get a copy of the book. I think Jamie's showing pictures of it. There it is right there. You can also schedule a reading with Elias as well. 360 Degrees of Star Destiny. It's so beautiful. I'm going to have to read this in my meditation time and just fully embark on it. Thank you all. We'll see you in a minute.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Betty Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. We're still on I-5 northbound. Looks like near the off-ramp to 405 northbound. There is a recent collision partially blocking that ramp. Good thing no fire assistance and state patrols have arrived on the scene, and they are taking care of that collision. I-5 northbound off-ramp to northbound 405. That's right. Stay tuned because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Dr. Pat Show being brought to you by Transformation Talk Radio Network. And it's the good news segment of the week.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Several police agencies in Sarasota County, Florida, say there are still no signs of Gabby Petito's fiancé, who's also a person of interest in her disappearance and homicide. Rick Hoschel reports.
Both the Sarasota Police Department and the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office took to social media to address rumors about possible Brian Laundrie sightings. Both agencies said Laundrie is not in custody of either department. Northport Police also say Laundrie remains at large. Police have resumed a search for Laundrie in the 25,000-acre Carlton Reserve in Sarasota County. I'm Rick Hoschel.
President Biden is urging world leaders to start preparing for future pandemics. Addressing a COVID summit, the president said it was an issue of global health security. Biden called it an all-hands-on-deck crisis, saying the solution lies in worldwide vaccinations. Senate Republicans are not budging in their opposition to extending the federal debt limit.
Step up and raise the debt ceiling to cover all that you've been engaged in all year long.
Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said Democrats must agree to curb their spending plans, which he called reckless. He agreed the debt ceiling must be extended and said Democrats can do it alone. The Treasury Department has warned the government could default on its debt obligations next month. Extending or increasing the nation's borrowing authority usually receives bipartisan support. New York Democrat Chuck Schumer slammed Republicans for refusing to extend the federal debt limit. He said it endangers the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. Mick Jagger is dedicating the new Rolling Stones tour to Charlie Watts. The No Filter tour officially starts Sunday in St. Louis, but the Stones did a warm-up show Monday night in Massachusetts. Mick Jagger opened the show by saying how much the band misses their drummer and by telling the crowd, "Let's have a drink to Charlie." Watts joined the Rolling Stones in 1963. He passed away peacefully in a London hospital on August 24th. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Whether it's fly fishing or French pastry, we all have something that makes our tail wag. Involuntary and instinctive, it's sparked by excitement, inspired by purpose, and it speaks to who we are. I'm Stacey Heller of Stacey Connects. I lead clients to the place that makes their tail wag. As a creative director, I bring ideas to life. As a podcast producer, I give ideas a voice. Stacey Connects. It's my superpower. If you want to connect with me, Stacey Heller, go to StaceyConnects.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now. Charles Hunter to talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, with the cloudy skies and a slight chance of rain this morning, turning to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 54. For Thursday and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected. High temperatures on the rise by a few degrees. 68, 69, 70. With mostly clear skies for the overnight. Low temperatures in the low 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. So all of you have heard me talk about what does it mean to feel like you have a front line of people that care about you, that are out there, that are making sure that we are getting the kind of critical care we need to get. What about those folks? You know, how are they making it through this? Critical care nurses in a state of crisis share the reality from the front lines. Joining me here today, Amanda Betancourt, AACN, American Association of Critical Care Nurses, is joining me and helping us understand what it means to be feeling so well and safe as our critical care nurses take on the challenge of a lifetime. Amanda, it's great to have you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You have set forth on an interesting life purpose and journey and calling. And this is a life purpose for you. You know, when we're talking about the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, we're talking about a scenario which I don't think any of us could have predicted 20 months ago. But I know you're laughing because I didn't predict it. I know somebody may have, but it wasn't me. I want to ask you, what has this journey been like for you, and what is the call to action that hits your heart every day?
Yeah, you know, thank you so much for contextualizing our work this way. You know, as acute and critical care nurses myself, I'm a pediatric critical care nurse. You know, we pride ourselves on being up for challenges like this. We've chosen to take care of the sickest patients in our healthcare system, whether those are babies, adults, or children. And, you know, the COVID pandemic has been a challenge in multiple ways from its onset that, of course, we could have never predicted. And, you know, for the last 18 months, day in and day out, we've been bringing our best selves to this problem, and we've been providing the expert care that we know that we can to as many patients as possible. But what we're worried about now is that, you know, while we've been going along and doing this and bringing our best self and trying our best to deliver high-quality care to patients no matter what they need in our healthcare system today, we're basically at our breaking point. We recently talked to our membership of critical care nurses, mm-hmm. and we found that 92% of them think the pandemic's depleted the nurses at their hospital and that they're planning to shorten their careers based on it. And more than half of the nurses that have been working in critical care are thinking of leaving the nursing profession entirely. So it's just kind of a reflection of how demoralizing some of the things that we've had to see and do over the past year have been on us. And even though we love this job and we care so much about the health of our patients and our communities, we do have a breaking point, and we might be very close to it.
I will tell you from the people that I know that are exactly in the field and the career path that you're talking about, I honestly don't know how you all have gotten to the place that you've gotten to, you know, in being of so much service and being there on the front lines. But I think sometimes that our pop culture, especially some of the media, shows that, you know, I even watch, like The Good Doctor, don't really get at the core of what's going on. And then the public thinks, oh, my God, everything's all cool. We're going to make it through. I mean, this is, I think, one of the greatest misunderstandings and misrepresentations of reality in media that I've seen. This really is the scenario you're talking about.
I agree. And also, the media doesn't always portray the work of nurses accurately. And I think until you've been a patient in the hospital and had to see what a nurse does for you, keep you comfortable, make sure your wishes are known, make sure that you have the medication you need when you need it, all of those things are really important functions of nursing that not everybody knows. And there are things that we love to do, and there are things those are things we're passionate about doing well. And I think what's been the hardest during this pandemic is that we're unable, because of so many patients and not enough resources and so many of our colleagues that have already waved the white flag and said, I surrender, I can't do it anymore. Now we can no longer give that care that we're really passionate about giving. And so hospital care cannot exist without nurses. Those beds, those ventilators, those places where patients receive care are just empty places if there's not a nurse there to actually provide the integrated care and treatments that nursing does. It's the center of a patient's hospital experience. So we're really worried. We're worried that this trend means that there aren't going to be nurses to take care of you when you have COVID, and lives will be lost now. And similarly, as we move forward and end this, if we lose nurses at this pace, there's not going to be people to take care of you long after this is over. And we will lose lives because of this. Nurses are really important in the healthcare system.
They're beyond important than anything we can talk about. I know I got 2 toe and knee replacements in the middle of the pandemic, and I will tell you, the people at my bedsides were nurses. And what I saw them go through and how safe and clean and effective they made, not just the process, the procedure, and the care for me, it is unprecedented. But let's talk about the Delta surge. And I am in awe of how difficult it is to just present factual information to people and say to them, this is real. And I want to talk with you about this because I want to know what you're seeing in the Delta-driven surge, and I want to know what you're seeing that's different. I know in my state, Washington State, we have the first death of a young child in our state. Now, people say, oh, that's just, no, it's not just one number. This is a young person. Can you talk about what you're seeing, and can you talk about what the pressure and the stress and the burnout is on all of you from this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak for myself and my colleagues and say that any life lost unnecessarily is personal to us, is one too many, and we 100% you know, want to make sure that everyone survives this, make sure that everybody gets good care. What's different now is that, first, it's largely preventable, especially the patients that we're seeing in the critical care unit. What we know is 9 out of 10 patients that are in the ICU have yet to be vaccinated. And so the best
way
to avoid, yes, the best.
Did you say 9 out of 10?
Have yet to be vaccinated, are not vaccinated. That's correct, in the ICU.
Oh, my gosh,
and
that
so
is a big number.
It is a big number. And, you know, being a patient with COVID in the ICU means you may have to say goodbye to your loved ones using an iPad.
Mm.
We may be the only one there holding your hand during some really difficult times in your life. We don't want that. But at the same time, we realize that what we do normally is a thing that we do, and we don't go into the spotlight. We don't talk to the public about it. It's something we're proud to do, and the people who, like you, have experienced nursing thank us and appreciate us. We've been voted the most trusted profession for the last 19 years in a row because people in some of their happiest and saddest moments in their lives rely on nurses. What's different now is we want to talk directly to the public about what we're seeing with our own eyes, what we've gone through in the past year, what it's meaning to our healthcare system. And we hope that people will trust us to give them honest information. So we set up this website called hearusout.com where we're going to share our story directly with the public, exactly what it's like to work in healthcare today in the critical care environment with COVID patients, with all kinds of patients, so that people can hear us and understand what we are going through. And if they're moved by that because they know a nurse or they've been affected by a nurse and they're willing to help others do things like wear masks, keep their distance, and get vaccinated, we have information on our website that will help people have those conversations with others or help people make choices for themselves around vaccination. But we've never done that before. And so we're doing it now because we're worried about the future of our healthcare system. We want to give excellent care to you and your loved ones, no matter what they need from us going forward, COVID or not. But we're at our breaking point, and if we continue this way, there just simply aren't going to be enough nurses to do that.
And can we just get really clear about why you're here today, Amanda, and what the message is today? There are many people that are going on with their life as if this is all over and done. And I say that because as I go out in the world, I wear a mask. I'm almost on the verge of having my team wear masks again here, only because of what we're seeing. And, you know, clearly in my state, we have some mandates where, you know, there are some restrictions. We walk out of our office suite here and we go into the general hallway and we wear a mask. We go to the bathroom and we wear masks. We need to present, and I hope you can help me here now. We need to talk about the reality that you all are seeing because you are the ones that are seeing it. And it's real. It's real. We're talking about ICUs and death increase in 43 states. Please talk to our audience about the reality of this and what you would like to see done.
Yeah, the reality of COVID is that it kills, the death is difficult, lonely, and tragically preventable. We've witnessed hundreds of thousands of deaths from COVID, so absolutely none of us feel that this is over. But what we want people to hear is that our individual actions can save lives and save our healthcare system today.
Yeah.
Today, the choices we make about masking, getting vaccinated, keeping a distance, and sharing our stories with others. Maybe another person hasn't heard this message, but to share it with another person might help that person save their community. So our individual actions matter. So we cannot, nurses cannot stop this alone. So we're asking for the public's help, which is not something that we've done before. But we really feel like we need allies in this fight. And so as much as people can join with us to share the truth about COVID, to take individual actions that will help save their lives, their community's lives, and our healthcare system, the better off we're all going to be now and when this is eventually over.
You know, I know you've got to run off. Would you mind please telling people today how they can find out more information and how they can get aware and informed? And Amanda, thank you so much. Thank you all. Thank you all for being on those front lines and doing a superb job given the situation.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for the opportunity to share. What we want people to do is go to our website, hearusout.com, where you can hear us out about what we're seeing and what you can do to help. And we really need everybody's help in getting us through this pandemic because we just can't afford to lose any more nurses.
I couldn't agree with you more. Without nurses, we do not have healthcare. End of the story. Thank you so much, Amanda. Please, many blessings to you and your journey.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome. What a great good news segment we have for you. Alex Seidel joining me here today, chef and owner, James Beard Foundation, Best Chef Award recipient, is joining me here today. Before we get into the topic, you know, Alex, I want to thank you for everything you do, your contribution, you know, how you help all of us understand, you know, food is more than just something we put in our mouths. It's something so much more. And I want to thank you for all the work that you've done and bringing today's show, which I am so interested to talk with you about. We're going to talk about why beef plays an important role in sustainable eating. You know, tell me this. As a chef, you're out in the world. You're a chef, you're owner, you are somebody that manages a restaurant. Why is this topic? What is it about beef that is absolutely so important to you and to the people listening today to know?
Well, first off, thank you for the kind words and introduction. I really appreciate that. You know, I started cooking, washing dishes 34 years ago in this industry. And in becoming a chef, I've certainly been very well supported by our communities. And as a chef, I take a very big responsibility in making sure that we give back to the community through proper education, providing ingredients that they can trust. You know, our world is, our country is, and the food is truly medicine, and if we can educate people mm-hmm. to eat the proper way, we're going to have a healthier place.
Mm-hmm. You know, 360 degrees is what I like to talk about, and what that means is going full circle. And talking about what has been sort of the conversation around beef as we have looked at it, as we've looked at the, you know, sustainability in the world. And this is an important conversation for you. So my question is, you know, sustainability, it is a topic, a hot one for chefs and diners. Tell me about the underpinnings of this.
Well, sustainability is a word that gets thrown around quite a bit, right? For me, I really like to think about the beef industry as being regenerative and taking care of the people and planet. And that's really what sustainability means to me as a chef, taking care of our communities, providing food that nourishes them, but doesn't take away from the planet. And, you know, I've been eating beef my whole life, and it's certainly a part of my diet. I wouldn't say every day, but probably every week. And, you know, the key to success in any 360 evolution is moderation. Moderation mm-hmm. is the key to many things, right? And beef is certainly a healthy an option that any serving of lean beef provides essential nutrients, protein, zinc, iron, B vitamins. In just a 3-ounce portion, you're talking about 170 calories. So in moderation, beef is a great option for your diet. It's a great way to get those nutrients, vitamins, and protein mm-hmm. that we all need.
Yeah, I want to just really talk with you again about the conversation that we are bringing to the forefront today. And the reason that I love bringing this to the forefront is because you're right about the word sustainability. You know, a number of years ago, I used to go to all of the green events, and I wish we were doing more of them, and talk about the 50 shades of green. And, you know, most of the time I got people that cheered and people that booed because they didn't quite understand why can't we just do it all. And I think that what you're talking about is in moderation and balance and harmony. And, you know, if I watched you prepare a beautiful meal, it would be harmonious. It would be beautiful. And that's the conversation we're having here today, isn't it? To really look at this from the perspective, here it is, it's been here, and how does it fit in the harmony of the world and the universe?
Well, I think if you look at cattle production from the early 1900s till today, a lot has changed in the methodology, the efficiencies in raising animals. If you look at a steer from the early 1900s, it's a completely different shape. It's a completely different build. We've been able to... You know, the reason why the beef industry has grown in such sustainable ways is because there's so many family farms that are producing our beef today. I mean, 90% of the beef raised in America is raised by families. And when you have families raising products for the community, they want to take care of it. And they want to do it in the best possible way, in the most efficient way. Because beyond people and planet, it still has to make profit, right? It still mm-hmm. has to support these families that are raising our food so they can continue to do that. As our populations continue to grow and urban areas are getting bigger.
Yeah, what we run into is a scenario around all of this, which has more and more and less, you know, to do with, you know, the energy of things and the understanding of things. And I think, Alex, what you're bringing forward in the conversation is, look, let's take a look at what's going on here. It's so important, sustainability, to chefs and diners. And, you know, there's a contribution that is made here. Let's talk about the contribution that sustainable eating has, because I think that, you know, you said it before, I think that there are so many layers to this and misunderstanding over time. It's so great to have a conversation with you and bring a new perspective to it.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed in my restaurants, and this dates back, Fruition is going to be 15 years old here coming up. And so, you know, I've been able to see a huge evolution in how the consumer eats as well. I'm included in this when I talk about it. You know, people love to come into restaurants and they want want to expect big portions in value perception, correct? So, you know, I was that guy that would order the 16-ounce strip loin and finish it by myself. And sometimes it hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And my family, now when we go buy a steak for ourselves, we typically buy it within 1 or 2 days of using it. We know what day we're going to cook it on. We know how much we're going to eat. So typically our family of four, I've got a 14-year-old and 11-year-old. I've been talking to them about moderate portioning and eating what you make and not having big eyes without understanding what is healthy for you to digest. Mm-hmm. And now we share that 16-ounce steak with the four of us, you know, and sometimes if we're not going to throw that away, we can easily take a cooked steak and make steak tacos the next day or take a brisket and make chili the next day. So for me, it's about utilization and making sure that we don't want to raise too much beef that we can't consume, right? So it's educating our consumers to, you know, eat less, purchase less so that we are doing right by raising beef in this country.
Yeah, I have to tell you, I love the website. Can we talk about the website and the information on here for a minute? And let's make sure everybody has the website. First of all, congratulations on bringing a level of understanding through both information, very, very great factual information, but also demonstrating, also showing us. You have an infographic that I downloaded from the site, you know, that is just amazing fact-checking short version of what's there. Can you talk to us, give us the website for this, because boy, I'll tell you, it really does tell a story.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think the problem that we have sometimes is it's easy to take a conclusion from a short clip of a conversation with a friend. And then the rumor mill starts and it becomes, oh my gosh, what's going on here? The earth is ending. But if you go to beefitswhatsfordinner.com, it's a really valuable site. It's one that I use. It's one that I share with my chefs because there's such great information on there, not just about how beef is raised and the sustainability of it, but recipes, talks about different cuts. Because, you know, people, to enjoy beef, there's over 40 cuts, you know, and there's grass-fed and there's corn-fed and there's so much options throughout the beef industry. But it's being aware and having the kind of conversation with your butcher about how to cook that piece of meat so it's going to be at its best for you.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, the kind of information you're also providing, talking about emissions, talking about the solution, giving, you know, giving numbers that people can understand, and also talking about the way the industry has changed. It really brings a new light. It really, as you say, I think on the website, rethink the ranch. And, you know, when I started to look at what that looks like, I was fascinated by it, you know, fascinated by how far you all have gone and, you know, changing the way things are done and informing us about what the importance is, what can be done. It's so very important that this message and the education of it goes out so that people can understand exactly the whole picture of it. And I think you've done a great job in doing that.
Thank you so much. Yes, you know, it's a very complicated conversation. It can be. But I think, again, going to that website, beefitswhatsfordinner.com, getting a little bit of your own personal information and asking some of your own personal questions is really the way to inform yourself and making the right decisions for you and your family.
I love it. I want to thank, you know, look, thank you so much for all that you're doing. And you're right. This is a very short clip. We could have spent an hour talking about everything that's on the site, including recipes. And, you know, first and foremost, I just thank you for putting out such great factual information and making it so visually understanding. It really makes a difference to people these days. And I want to thank you for doing that. One last question. What is your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
You know, first off, I really want to thank you for giving me a platform to share the information. You know, being in the Denver community, my voice is sometimes, I can only do so much for Colorado, but to be able to share this message with you and your listeners today, I would leave people with one thing. Ask questions, don't listen to answers.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer and co-host of The Psychic in the Dark. My new book, The Afterlife Frequency, comes out October 5th. I'll be a keynote speaker at the International Association for Near-Death Studies, IANS, 2021 online conference, September 1st through the 5th. Register by August 12th and get the early bird discount. Visit IANS.org.
Who taught you or your kids how to handle stress? That's right, no one. I'm combat veteran Deb Lewis, and I'm on a mission to change that. My new children's book, Why is Pono Not Pono Today, is set in Hawaii. Lovable characters, Pono the Bull and his friend Kuleana, show us how a stressful situation ends happily. Look closer to reveal powerful ways to handle all types of stress. Start loving your stress-filled life today. Go to mentallytoughwomen.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Even though your home base is one Enneagram type, you have characteristics of all the types. Tune in to Enneagram Conversations with Renee Siegel, the second and fourth Monday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how you can unlock your unlimited potential. Visit YouArePurePotential.com for more about Renee and her work. That's the letter U, the letter R, PurePotential.com.
Hey, everybody. How often have you heard me talk about small businesses over the past 22 months? And, you know, the last time I did it was back in 07, 08, and 09. And today, I'm going to get a little help from Bill Brunel joining me here today, co-founder of Independent We Stand. What is it about small businesses that you heard me talk about this week? What can we do to shift our mindset? What can we do to support local? What can we do, dot, dot, dot? Bill, it's great to have you.
Hey, you know, we've got some great tips for your listeners to support local businesses to make a real impact in their community. And the first thing to do is tell the world you're ready to buy local.
Yeah.
Visit our website at independentwestand.org, and you can actually learn more about why it's important to support locally owned businesses. And you can take a pledge to buy local and then share it on social media to make sure all your friends and families and coworkers and neighbors are going to do the same thing. It's really important to take care of these businesses. They're still struggling a bit because of COVID. And, you know, we lost a lot of businesses, almost 200,000 businesses during COVID. Let's not do that anymore. Let's help these small businesses. In addition, we have a huge contest going on right now called the America's Main Street Contest. I'm actually standing in Sykesville, Maryland, downtown Sykesville, on their Main Street. And they won the contest in 2020, and there's a $25,000 grand prize. And what they decided to do with their money is actually help merchants in town. There are about 40-plus merchants here survive COVID, and not one business closed. In fact, they added two businesses. So this is a huge, huge contest. In fact, Linden, Washington, just north of you guys, won in 2016. And that's a great story up there. I think it's the Raspberry Capital of the World. And downtown Linden won that. So it's a big contest. All you have to do is go to the website. You'll see a huge banner that says America's Main Street Contest and nominate your favorite Main Street. I know Washington State has a wonderful Main Street program. It's probably a great place to look and see if you have one in your backyard.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that any of us can experience living in, you know, your city that, you know, you live in is to watch the businesses that have been there for you day in and day out and to watch them really struggle to the point of actually vaporizing. And that's a term we're using that we want to stop that. We want to eradicate businesses going out of business. And what you're doing in support of local businesses is actually stellar. It's amazing. First of all, let me ask you about this, because some people think they're supporting independent businesses, and yet at the same time, we don't know. The average person doesn't know how to go about it. And let's talk about what people can do. Let's talk about the tips. Let's talk about the action. What is the call to action here, Bill? And there's a reason that you're standing in the street right now doing this interview. What do you want to bring to light here?
Well, I think the important thing is to shift your mindset. I think consumers need to think about these local businesses. Don't automatically go to that big box store, that national chain, or God forbid, shop from Amazon. Think about those local businesses. And even really a small shift in the way you shop can have a huge impact. It's estimated that if every family in America just shifted $10 more to local businesses a month for 12 months, about $9.3 billion would be returned to local communities. And that's because those businesses recirculate much more money in the local community, and that means, you know, better roads, better schools, higher pay for first responders, and you can make a real impact. You know, people want to do something with their hard-earned dollars these days. And if they buy local, they can make sure their community is taken care of.
I mean, we've been hard hit. I mean, it's very clear to those of us that are small businesses, like myself, you know, we really understand how hard a company gets hit. And I think that, you know, by having a campaign like you have, we can shed a level of awareness as well. And you're right about shifting mindsets. You know, we've gone through this time after time again to save local businesses here in the Western Washington area from a wide array of reasons, especially in 2007, 8, 9, and 10. You know, this is my 18th year, so I've seen a few things and locally. And what you're talking about now is a new level of awareness, because here's the deal. It's as if we see a business open and we think they're doing okay. And what we don't know behind the scenes is more than ever, these local businesses need our help. Is that correct assessment to make?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Small business owners are a tough bunch. And, you know, these are folks that turn on the lights in the morning, turn them off at night. They've been working all day, and now they're going to go balance the books. And some marketing expert said, you know what, you need to do a Facebook post. They struggle. You know, margins are really small, especially nowadays in certain areas like restaurants. And not only is it hard to find help right now, but it's hard to keep a business open. So we need to do what we can to help these wonderful mom-and-pop shops keep them in business. Simple as that. Find them, support them, buy local.
You know, one of the things, too, is, you know, as we look at this, what you're doing in this conversation interview is to let people know that there is a call to action here. You know, there is a call to action. You know, a small dollar amount can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Give us some tips on how to create this change, this transformation, because people love tips. That's a call to action we could talk about on the show, and our audience will go and they will do it. They will support local.
Yeah. Well, the first thing you can do is go to independentlystand.org. That's .org, not .com. There's a great section where you can essentially learn about where your dollar goes and how it's spent. And the other thing is, we make it easy to take that pledge that I talked about. You can take a pledge to buy local, share it with all your friends and family on social media, make them think about supporting local businesses. The more people we have doing that, the better it's going to be for all these businesses who are really struggling in COVID.
What, can I ask you this question? I know you've got to run between interviews, but I want to ask you personally, as you're deeply involved in this, and this is passion for you, and it goes beyond sort of a marketing campaign. I would love to know what's in your heart. You know, what is in your heart? What has hit your heart the hardest as you become who you are and you do what you do?
Well, I've worked with small businesses for over 30 years. And, you know, when you talk to these folks, they're living the American dream. They've decided to take an idea, a concept, start from scratch to build small businesses. And these businesses often become multi-generational and really impact their local communities. They have so much more invested in the local community. They may buy, you know, the uniforms for the local Little League team, or the owner may serve on the school board. That kind of vested interest in the community goes a long way. But they can't do it without our support. So it's extremely important to support these local-owned businesses.
one last question for you, because I know that you've got to run. I know you're doing so many of these. When you look ahead for a year, let's take a trip down the road of 12 months from now. What's your highest vision for what you're doing, and what would you like to see change in the world of small businesses?
I think, you know, it's even hard to mention this in the same sentence, but the pandemic was a little bit of a silver lining for small businesses, because people began to realize very early on, there was a ton of media attention to it, that these small businesses may not survive. And what our goal in the next few years is to remind the public over and over again, you know, consumers are a finicky bunch. They may be all about supporting locally owned businesses, but the key and the challenge will be to keep them thinking, you know, years down the road that this is an important thing to do. You know, we got small business can sign up on the website. So if you're a small business owner, you can sign up on our website, become a member of Independent We Stand. And thanks to sponsors like Steel, they actually offer a full suite of marketing materials that can help small business owners build their local brand and stand out in the big box stores and the national chains. And the best part is it's absolutely free. All they need to go to is independentwestand.org and sign up for a business membership.
I love it. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. I know you're heading off. Thank you so much for remembering us. You know, remembering small businesses, because I think, you know, during the pandemic and even today as we're speaking, everybody thinks it's all good. And small businesses are really not there yet. They are working so hard, the people that are running them. Thank you for reminding us that we're not invisible, that we do matter.
Hey, it's been a pleasure to speak with you.
All right, everybody, let's take a short break. Please support local. We'll be right back.
Truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Inspiration on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're a mom, you're probably hard-pressed to think of things you wouldn't do for your child's well-being. What if I told you the greatest thing you could do for your kid's development is focus on your own development? When you work on yourself, you begin to show up better for the people you love. Tune into Imperfect Mommy with Alicia Lyons on your favorite podcast platform. Learn more about me at AliciaLyons.com. AliciaLyons.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. Out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
We're back in that jazz mood, aren't we? I don't know. What happened to the rap music, Benny?
Oh, my God.
There you go.
Thank you, Benny.
I like it.
You're welcome.
I'm going to leave that in my car.
Boy, I got to have me some fake something now. I'm telling you.
Everybody, welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. You know, today I love doing these segments for a lot of reasons, and you all love them as well. There's so much information that we get to share with you. And joining me here today, Dr. Ian Thompson, Texas Urology Group, is here to talk with us about what we have done to advance the conversation on prostate cancer awareness. And that is this month. But more importantly, we're going to learn about what is important in early detection and why what has changed? Dr. Thompson, thank you so much for joining us here today. You know, we're living in a world where it's so hard to keep up with all the great work you all are doing, and especially in this particular arena. You know, I know personally in my family, I understand the importance of it. Tell me from your perspective, when you think about your body of work and what you're doing, what excites you most?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity being here today in collaboration with Boston Scientific to discuss this important topic of regular screening and just more awareness about prostate cancer. I think the thing that excites me the most is the opportunity for innovation, just to see where we talk about basic screening such as a PSA blood test, we take that for granted. But really, that didn't become widely available until the early 1990s, maybe the late 80s. And things that have changed just even from when I was in training to now, more options come on every year for patients. And so that's what's really exciting. And being able to participate and being able to push forward and helping in this work. So.
Tell us about, you know, I mean, early detection, all of us are so aware of that. You know, those two words right there, early detection, because it's a game changer in so many areas, but it certainly is a game changer for common cancer and treatment options for men. But let's talk about early detection and what the innovation around this that you all are bringing forward.
Yeah. So the importance of early detection comes down to the fact that when we find prostate cancer that's localized or confined to the prostate, we have a lot of options from just treating it with surgery where you remove the prostate to radiation to treat it with radiation. Or sometimes we find these low-risk prostate cancers that are maybe slow-growing and may never pose a risk to the man's health. And so we can do something called active surveillance. So to come back to the importance of early detection, and it's really that we have all the options on the table. Once things progress beyond that, then you start taking options off the table for when it comes to treatment for the patient. And so that's where it really starts in conversations like this to bring the awareness of the importance of screening for prostate cancer.
You know, I could talk about so many different areas of this, but I want to talk about what we're looking at if detected early, proactively, you know, survival rates. I want to talk about, you know, what you've discovered and, you know, also for men undergoing prostate cancer radiation, there's also innovations here. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So from a prognosis standpoint, the vast majority, you know, nearly 100% of men that are diagnosed with clinically localized prostate cancer to the prostate, about 100% survival rate within the first 5 years from diagnosis, reassuring and really gives us good information as far as the importance of screening. Now, when we talk about some of the side effects, so the side effects for surgery can include potentially urinary leakage, erectile dysfunction. When it comes to radiation, you can have some urinary symptoms after that, but you can also have some toxicity to the rectum and some side effects to the rectum itself. And so one of the newer tools that we have available to us is this SpaceOAR hydrogel, which is a minimally invasive procedure where we can create a level of cushion, a new distance between the prostate and the rectum that doesn't normally exist, to really mitigate and reduce the effect of the radiation to the rectum itself. And this procedure is something that usually takes maybe 20 minutes, most often done in the urologist's office, they can move on with their normal daily activities later that day and the next day. So minimal impact on the patient during the procedure, but has long-lasting effects on reducing the potential side effects of radiation.
You know, I think that for some of us that have gone through and have seen family members affected by prostate cancer and have watched the journey, I think all of us are acutely aware of what that looks like. Certainly, we're not the person that goes through this particular treatment, but we certainly know our loved ones. And I wanted to ask you specifically, what is it that you all are working on that you think is going to change the landscape of this for men? And I also think it's important to let folks know how they can find out exactly more about what we're talking about here today.
What I mean, I think the most important that will change the landscape is just what we're doing today, having the conversation so that I don't see a man in my clinic that comes in for a new diagnosis and it's, you know, the cat's out of the bag, but it has spread throughout the body. Those are really tough conversations.
Mm.
And so if we come to a point where we say, hey, it's September, let's talk about this. When it's at the dinner table, you know, and for the ladies out there to say, for the loved ones, the men in their life, to say, hey, have you gotten this checked? That's going to change things. So we don't allow that, you know, where it gets far. We find it early, and we have all the tools. We know what to do. We know how to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do we know how to take care of it from a cancer, you know, treatment standpoint, but now we have these really neat tools that can help us reduce the potential side effects, which is really some of the scary thing for patients thinking, what's this going to do to me long term?
Right.
Can I get back to normal?
Right.
How do we treat it? And this just be a little hiccup, a little bump in the road, and get down to a point where, oh, remember that time you had prostate cancer? Oh, now I forgot about that. I'm back to normal.
Right.
That's what I think is really cool if we talk about it and get find it early.
Yeah. One of the things I love, and I want to get back to this, Dr. Thompson, real quick if we could. One of the things I love talking about, you know, really been an advocate and so involved in, you know, cancer that affects women. But here, this particular thing, this has the same thing in common, and that is, what do we do to mitigate the effects? What do we do? What are we doing to mitigate the effects of a treatment? And that's also part of this. It's one thing to go through the treatment and be early detection. Now you're in the middle of the treatment and there are effects of it. Some people call them side effects, but you all are also engaged in mitigating some of those side effects, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's really important, because you have to take the patient as a whole. You can't just look at just the cancer, you know, because that's not going to say too objective, but it's because you have to take into account that quality of life. We're not just all about quantity, but we have to talk about the importance of quality of life as well.
Mm-hmm.
Talk
about the hydrogel though for a minute too. Because I think this is one of these things that for me, when I look at some of the innovations, and certainly we're really on top of the survival rate, now we're thinking about the quality of life of somebody that is actually going through this. And, you know, what you all have come to the forefront to create is something that not only helps emotionally, but also physically, right?
Yeah. So the Spacer gel, like I said, it's just it's a short procedure, and it's designed to stay where it is and where you place it and in the body for the right amount of time. I mean, normally when men undergo radiation, the radiation can be maybe eight, nine weeks in duration. Within 6 months of placement of this hydrogel, the body breaks it down and reabsorbs it. So long term, you won't have it there. It gives the space between that rectum and the prostate, and that extra cushion that the radiation oncologist can really hone in and treat the entire prostate and worry less about the effects to the rectum because of that increased distance between the prostate and the rectum.
Wow. How do people find out more about this? Because, you know, what we're talking about here is getting information, education, so that people can understand what are the questions to ask for. And that's why you're doing these interviews like this, is because, you know, a lot of times patients or the loved ones of patients or the caretakers of patients, they don't know. They're warriors in the field, and they don't even know the questions to ask. This would be one of those questions to ask your doctor about, right?
Correct. So if they want to learn more about the Space War technology, that's they can go to spaceor.com, spaceor.com. They want to learn more about prostate cancer in general. The American Cancer Society is a great place, cancer.org, the American Urologic Association. Those are great resources. If someone is diagnosed with prostate cancer and they are meeting with a radiation oncologist to discuss radiation as an option for treatment, that's a great place to bring this topic up for conversation, to say, hey, if I am going to do radiation, what about SpaceOR?
Yeah.
And they can discuss that further with their doctor.
Yeah, and I love what you've presented on the website, because you're giving a lot of information about what SpaceOR is, and you're also giving information about the questions to ask. And thank you for putting such absolutely incredible material together. You know, I took a look at your patient education brochure, and I'm telling you, the way you've presented this and how you've presented this, and asking and answering questions about this, I think it's such a refreshing relief for people that are going through this journey. And you really broke it down in terms of a layperson understands this. And this is really, for me, when I take a look at something like this and the quality of the material and the information you're providing, it really does open up a new conversation for both the gentleman that is going through this and their loved ones. And I think that's what we're talking about. So thank you for doing such a great job on putting all this together. Thank you, Dr. Thompson, for all of this. Yeah. I mean, there's so much good information on the website. I love it. But the brochure itself, for me, it was like, oh, my God, I've got to get this to a friend of mine right now. So thank you for all of that. I want to ask you one last question. I'd love to know your personal message. I'd love to know, given everything you know and these interviews you're doing back-to-back, I know you got to run. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with here today?
I just want to say, have the conversation with your loved ones, for those important men in your life that you care about. Make sure they're doing, and it's not just prostate cancer, because there are other things that men are at risk of developing, you know, making sure they're getting their colonoscopy, doing all the stuff that doesn't sound like fun. Just go. Life is about showing up. Show up. Have the conversation. Talk to your doctor. Hey, am I doing all the things I need to be doing? Mm-hmm. And part of that is, men that benefit, when it comes to prostate cancer, men between 55 and 69 years of age are the ones that benefit the most from prostate cancer screening. So if you're a man and you fall in that age bracket, or you know somebody, a guy that falls in that age range, make sure they're getting checked, or at least discussing the pros and cons about getting checked. Just have the conversation. So I think that's the message.
Wow. Thank you so much. I know you've got to run. Thank you for your contribution. And again, thank you for doing such a stellar job at presenting information that can change people's lives. Thank you so much for that, Doctor.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Everybody out there, I want to make sure you know that when what we're talking about here, you're going to be able to find, please go to the website, everyone. Just look at SpaceOR. It's spaceoar.com, SpaceOR. Tons of information. And you know what we like to say? Pay it forward, pass it on. We'll see you in a few. We'll be right back.